For me, I have always been able to find that flow, like through business, to be honest with you, and working on an idea and bringing it to life. I think different entrepreneurs are good at different stages of building businesses, right? You can't be good at all of the stages. That is an impossibility. What I'm really good at is ideating and executing on those like first couple of months or years. That is what gets me so excited, so energized.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed.
Lo Bosworth is the founder of Love Wellness, a total body care company for women. Previously known for her appearances on MTV's Laguna Beach and The Hills, Lo founded Love Wellness after her own health challenges in 2015, and she aimed to create clean and safe wellness products for women. She started it on her own kitchen table. Since its founding, Love Wellness has expanded and grown tremendously to be featured now in three major national retailers, including Target, Ulta, and Walmart. I started out by asking Lo about growing up back in Southern California and if she felt that potentially there was business or entrepreneurship in her blood and if it was something that she would pursue later on after acting.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's such an honor. Yeah, so I have an interesting story, certainly. And I started Love Wellness in 2016, a couple of years after I had moved to New York, but previously was on television growing up, as you mentioned, on The Hills and Laguna Beach, and grew up in Laguna Beach, California, in Orange County. I would say that I definitely was heavily influenced by both of my parents, you know, through the lens of entrepreneurship and business. They're both brilliant and extremely hardworking, and both came from families where they really had to make it happen and make it work for themselves. Before we started recording, you were telling me a story of you and you asked your wife to marry you at this like special beach. And my parents have a similar story. The neighborhood that I ended up growing up in is called Three Arch Bay. And when my parents first started dating, they snuck into the neighborhood and they went to the beach there, and they had like their series of first dates there. And they fell in love with the beach and with the area that they decided, you know, our goal one day is to move here. Yeah. And eventually they made it happen. But my dad was always the president of a company or the head of sales at a company. And so I think I was heavily influenced by his determinant focus. And I think I come from a really healthy and secure family unit, which I think really heavily influences your potential outcome in the business world. Absolutely. I think that I wanted to make my parents proud, I think in a lot of ways. And, you know, I continue to want to do that. And they were such good role models for me that within my family, one of my long-term goals has always been to pay it back and pay it forward. And I think some of that comes from hearing about my parents' childhood and some of the struggles that they, you know, dealt with growing up. My mom was an immigrant to this country, had a sibling pass away. My dad, you know, went through quite a lot growing up, was raised by his grandmother ultimately, siblings and parents passing away. And I think, you know, that they both overcame so much in their childhoods. And I heard those stories growing up, and it really heavily influenced me to always want to do my best, be my best, and deeply, deeply care for the family that surrounds me, and ultimately want to do everything that I can to take care of them.
I love that. And first, I want to get into it, but you failed to mention that, of course, that beach that I told my wife about that was my favorite beach in the world was Laguna Beach. So, me and your parents definitely, I think, enjoy the same things. But I will tell you,
from my growing up, I was really kind of second generation or third generation. And when you talk about your upbringing and seeing how hard your parents worked, especially that story resonates of like, hey, one day maybe we could live here. Watching them, seeing them, seeing that determination, seeing what they had gone through really motivated you, even at the beginning when you started your career in television.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the perspective when the TV opportunity first came was that it was an opportunity, right? And it was something that needed to be explored. I think what's really interesting about Laguna Beach, the show, is that it was really first of its kind. It created a whole new genre and category of television. And so that was one of the things, the major unknowns going into it, though, because we didn't really have a playbook or another show we could look at and be like, oh, this is like this. So we know what we're getting into. We didn't know. When MTV came to Laguna, we thought, okay, maybe this is going to be, I don't know if you remember that show, True Life on MTV, where they like went into somebody's life for like an hour. And it was just a documentary. It was really, I liked it because it was really documentary style. It was very real. And Laguna turned out to be something so different from that in a really beautiful and interesting way, but ultimately in sort of a way that twisted the reality for a lot of people. But like I said, I think, and my dad especially saw it as an opportunity, right? We didn't know if it was necessarily going to be good or bad or what the outcome was going to be for me ultimately, but we knew we had an opportunity. And that was one of the reasons that I decided to do it ultimately. The idea of opportunity, I think, outweighed sort of the unknown like factor to it.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the honesty, you know, and what you thought about it. And definitely coming from, you know, someone who's smart like your father and realizing and talking to you as well that this could be an opportunity. You're not sure which way it will go and how it goes. But at the end of the day, it was an opportunity and became very popular. And my question is, and I want you to talk about Love Wellness, which you started in 2016. I don't want to jump ahead so far because there's a backstory. But my question to you is, tell me a little bit about this company that you started in 2016. And I want you to talk about it because what I know, you're not, you know, we've had celebrities, we've had people who've endorsed brands. You have built a business that has a product that was needed. You have a business that the product is sold at major retailers like Walmart and Target and all over. This is a real business. And you went through a grind, I'm sure, which we'll get into. I know you're laughing. So I'd love to hear that. But before we jump back what was it that got you to start this business? And tell us about it.
For me, I have always been somebody that doesn't care much about what other people think about me.
Lucky.
I have a thick skin that definitely was penetrated as I was on TV because I was young, and growing up in that situation is really challenging, but it definitely made me even tougher. And I speak to that because of the types of products that we make are challenging for people to talk about because they really solve problems when it comes to women's wellness. And it's a category that has been stigmatized since, you know, the dawn of time, and underfunded and under-researched. And we're taught not to talk about our private parts, you know, for very obvious reasons. But I started Love Wellness in 2016, and we are really good at making women's personal care products and gut health products. I was going through a really challenging time health-wise when I started the company. But like I said, I'm just somebody that doesn't really care too much about sort of like what the outside is saying or how they perceive me. And I've always been somebody, and this is like very classic entrepreneur, that is willing to jump into something, jump out of the plane without your what's it called? Your parachute. Pack.
Yeah, your pet parachute.
And figure it out, right? Whether it's a hobby or a relationship or a business idea, right? And I was dealing with these health issues. I was depressed. I was anxious. I kept getting UTIs and yeast infections, which I can't believe we're talking about this on Entrepreneur, but here
we go. But it's important.
And I was going through a really, really bad breakup as well. And also the end of my television career, because after The Hills was over, I have always been really passionate about food, cooking, and nutrition. And so I went to culinary school when I first came to New York. I went to the French Culinary Institute, and I started to develop and create a bunch of food content. And I put videos up on YouTube, and they were really popular. And I was really focused on alternative ways of cooking because I learned about inflammatory foods and how challenging they could be for your health long term. And so I started to cook like dairy-free, gluten-free, you know, sometimes meatless, and share all of these recipes online. And I ended up connecting with Food Network Cooking Channel, and they were interested in developing a series with me. And the development process was really long. And ultimately, they decided that they didn't want to work with me. And that happens all the time in entertainment. Like, you are talking to a production company or a network for 2 years about your project, trying to get it off the ground. And then it just dissolves into thin air. And so that happened also at the same time of the end of the relationship with the person that I thought I was going to marry, and all of these like physical ailments happening. And so you could say it was a quarter life crisis, or just the lowest low I have ever faced or experienced. And I decided, because I've also always been, I don't know if it's a great advocate for my health or a hypochondriac, I think like you can sort of toe the line. I was really insistent on figuring out why I was so unwell. And I think you could absolutely point to the things happening in my life that made some of the neurological things I was dealing with outsized, of course, right? Because all of that stuff is difficult and it could make you upset. But I felt innately like something was physically wrong with me as well. And it took me 18 months and countless doctor visits and different doctors to get a data point or a proof point that provided me with that information. But after 18 months, I finally got my doctor to just run a simple blood panel and check my vitamin levels. And like, it's probably shocking to hear that I went to the doctor so many times and with all of these symptoms and these challenges, and it took them 18 months to just run a blood panel to check my vitamin levels. But that's how it went for me. And when the test came back, it showed that I was severely deficient in a number of vitamins. And I finally felt like the first piece of relief I had in a really long time, because I at least had something that I could learn about, read about, and try to apply some changes to my life, right? And so I'm always somebody that wants to know the why. And I will literally get to the very end of that tunnel, the very origin of that why story. And I think that makes a really good entrepreneur, right? Somebody that understands a product from end to end and the full need for it. And so throughout this process, one of the gems of information that was shared with me once I realized that it was these vitamin deficiencies by the medical community was that vitamin deficiencies are often caused by a gut health issue. Gut health issues can prevent the proper absorption of nutrients. And so that was the next piece of information that I had. And then I was able to start putting the puzzle together, because research had started to come out about the vaginal microbiome at that point and its connection to the gut microbiome, and that gut health could influence vaginal and urinary tract health. So then I started thinking, oh my God, I'm having these neurological symptoms, and the gut-brain connection or access was already known about or well known about at that time. But the gut-vagina connection was not really being talked about by media. There were no consumer brands making products that focused on improving gut health and, as a result, vaginal health. Like zero, absolutely zero. Unless you went to a really crunchy health food store, and maybe there was one brand with like a women's vaginal probiotic in a refrigerator in the back. But once I put those puzzle pieces together, because the information was out there, right? And like, it just required doing some research and analyzing it and, you know, just being like, okay, well, this is causing this, this is causing this, this all makes sense. What's the solution? And my doctors supported sort of my theory on it, you know, that like, hey, like, why don't we try some of these probiotics? Hey, you're dealing with these chronic infections. Why don't we try a boric acid suppository instead of a prescription antifungal, you know, for this infection, you know, something that's like a very old school traditional remedy that doctors prescribe, but kind of fell out of fashion for whatever reason. And also took the advice of eliminating personal hygiene products from my routine that doctors have always recommended that you stay away from, but never really provided you with like the reasoning behind why, which was products with fragrance, surfactants, phthalates, parabens, et cetera, et cetera. And once I started to shift my lifestyle, I started to get better. And thankfully, I had this food and nutrition background. And so I also understood that the things that I was consuming played a major role in my overall gut health. And ultimately, I'm like part of the antibiotic generation, right? I'm 36. Like, we grew up taking antibiotics a couple times a year for everything. And antibiotics are miracle drugs. But when it comes to your microbiome, like, it doesn't discriminate between good and bad bacteria. You take an antibiotic and it wipes out a lot of bacteria, good and bad. And now we know just how critical the gut microbiome is to overall immune function, you know, the health and integrity of your gut wall lining, et cetera. And so I had all these little pieces of information. And so I changed my diet. I learned and started to avoid what foods were truly inflammatory for me, because that's a very individual thing, right? Like, I have a gluten problem. You may not have a gluten problem, dairy, whatever. You know, some people have problems with nightshades, right? Like, you have to really do an elimination diet to understand what it is that you have a problem with. But understanding that just being a human being that exists in this modern world, I think by default is creating gut health issues for all of us. And so first, having that realization, and then second, kind of understanding what you can do to help yourself, I think ultimately is what helped me move through this dark moment and get better. But the aha moment that I had through this experience was I kept going to CVS, I kept going to Duane Reade and Walgreens, looking for solutions in the women's health aisle for the problems that I was experiencing and not being able to find anything. And so that was very clearly to me the white space opportunity. I thought, oh my God, these probiotics, these suppositories, switching to cleansers with no fragrance, with really gentle formulations and things like that have fundamentally changed my health and ultimately my life, how I feel about myself. And like, there's no brand in this space. And this was at the time of like Glossier and Casper, brands with capital B's. And I thought, oh my goodness, can I create a women's health business with really innovative and effective white space products that changes how we women intrinsically feel about our self-care routine, and change it from something that is stigmatized with products that you want to hide in your bathroom to something that you are happy to use every day and look forward to using every day, whether it's preventative care or a treatment for something that you have to deal with, right? And I have always been a major fan of beauty, makeup. And so I wanted to create that same feeling that you get from like holding a brand new lipstick at Sephora and like being so excited to use it. I wanted to translate that emotional experience to women's care products. And as a result, Love Wellness was born. And yeah, now we're in Walmart. So it's been quite an adventure.
Yes. And, you know, it's an incredible story. I definitely related to that last story because having two teenage girls, I see how much they love. We have a Sephora. We live in New York City right across the street, and they tend to go in there maybe 5 times a day.
Oh, God. It's amazing.
Yeah. My youngest daughter even has some kind of scam going where she gets emails of people and their birthdays that her friends like. And like, you get like, I don't know. Hopefully she doesn't get arrested. Anyway,
But, yeah, Sephora has some pretty insane surveillance cameras in their stores. So like, let's not talk about your daughter's Sephora scams.
We're in New York City, so you can go in and take whatever you want and then leave. So it's...
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors.
I lost my job in 2008, right before my wedding, actually. Getting let go would turn out to be my first step toward passive income, a fluid and dynamic way of earning income while changing lives at the same time. I found that online businesses are the best way to do that. It completely changed my life. My name is Pat Flynn. I created the Smart Passive Income podcast back in 2010 for anyone who's ever felt even a little bit like I did when I got let go. People who want to create and sustain a passive income stream online so they can spend more time with the ones they love, achieve the lifestyle they desire, and turn their passion into a thriving business. Whether you have a side hustle already in the works, or you don't even know where to begin, or you just want to crush it with what you got, this show has it all. Wherever you're at in your journey as an online entrepreneur, you're not alone in your quest. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a beat. There's a new episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast coming your way every Wednesday and Friday, wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts. Let's get started.
And we're back.
But I do want to talk to you because before getting into this, and obviously you had this incredible story, kind of self-diagnosing yourself and then understanding and realizing and working towards getting healthy while you were going through such horrible things in life that would bring a lot of people down and not be able to get off the mat. What was it that kept you going at that point in time, aside from just, and especially when you don't feel well?
Yeah, it comes back to, I think, my family ultimately, and that family unit and that support system. For a couple of months during this sort of transitional period, I had to go home and live with my parents because I was like so sad and unwell, right? You know, I was getting panic attacks walking down the street. And I think once you go through some challenges that are so painful, you kind of open your eyes to realize that the only place you can go from there really is up. And that is like a classic story. But it's something that it certainly applied to me in this case too, right? And so I think having the support of my parents and family and, you know, people that were willing and wanted to nurture me through such a challenging time ultimately is most likely why I was able to move forward and be successful. Because when you're sick and unwell, it takes a village, right? You can't be your own nurse when you are sick all of the time. You need your community. And I had that community in my family, and I'm just so grateful that I was able to turn to them for help during this time, right? And you sort of like go through all the emotions, I think, when you're challenged in your relationship, in your job, with your health. It's embarrassing, and you sort of have to face yourself for the first time. You're like, oh my God, somebody doesn't love me anymore. People don't want me at work, and I'm also depressed. And how did that make you feel? Makes you feel embarrassed and like shit.
Yeah.
But when you still have people that love you and tell you that it's okay, I think that's one of the best lessons that transitions you from a young adult to a real adult. Do you know what I mean? You sort of like lose that ego.
Totally. From where you stand at that point and you realize in terms of health and how important it is and just everything else really in life is minimal past that point. And you went through that, but you also have this aha moment. And it's not as easy as having an aha moment. There's many, many people who have this aha moment. They don't jump off the diving board. They have these great ideas, or it takes them years. Yeah. What was it, and how did you go about it to start Love Wellness?
For me, I really like to win. I take after my mom in that way. She's fiercely competitive. And I always wanted to do my best and have the best outcome. As silly as that sounds, whether it was in school or at sports. And for me, I have always really loved to be busy and have a project. That is when I feel the happiest and the most like myself. You know, when I'm like churning and burning on something, I am so happy. And for me, I have always been able to find that flow through business, to be honest with you, and working on an idea and bringing it to life. I think different entrepreneurs are different, are good at different stages of building businesses, right? You can't be good at all of the stages. That is an impossibility. What I'm really good at is ideating and executing on those like first couple of months or years. That is what gets me so excited, so energized. And so once I sort of had the idea, hey, maybe I can make these products and like turn this into a small business, that was enough to literally the next day start to ideate on the whole brand. Because if you are similar to me in that way of like, you love thinking of ideas and starting to execute against them, you know how exciting those first few like weeks, months, years can be. And so for me, it didn't really require a lot of me emotionally, or like, I didn't feel like it was this like high risk thing that I was doing. I was really excited to do it. And I decided to just throw myself into it. I think obviously the subject matter was the most sensitive thing that I had to think about. How am I prepared to talk about my own problems and struggles with a public audience, right? Am I prepared to talk about gut health issues and vaginal health issues on Instagram? 2016, nobody was doing this back then. And however, I was so passionate about the idea and the things that I had been implementing in my life with the guidance of my doctors at that point had so dramatically changed my health. And they were simple lifestyle tweaks, right? And I just felt deeply like, this is information that needs to be shared. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. And so I launched the business, and I literally did it by myself the first 2.5 years out of my living room apartment. Built the first website, worked with our contract manufacturers to get the products to market, did the first photo shoot, found a 3PL, did all the customer service, and I self-funded the business with the little savings I had left from being on TV. So it was definitely a make or break kind of moment. But I think that it's in those opportunities where you don't really have that many other options that people are really successful, because it's like, it becomes about survival at a certain point. And so I think that was it for me. I was like, I'm doing this. I'm going to throw myself fully into it. And once I did start to share my story, when I launched the company, which was mid-October 2016, the response that I got was like overwhelming. Half of it was like, I can't believe you're talking about this. This is so cringe and embarrassing. And it was, right? But I just had to like rely on that thick skin and sort of move through it. And there was also a huge contingent of people that questioned aloud, why is this business valid for you? How are you the one to be bringing this out into the world? You're not a doctor. You're not a nutritionist. You are a girl that was on a reality show. And the reality of that is that I'm a woman, I have these experiences in this body, and I don't have to be a doctor to operate a business. I have to be an operator of a business, right? I will work with medical experts and bring them into the fold and use their guidance and expertise to bring safe products to market, right? Because I am capable of doing that, right? I think people forget that if you're on a reality show, like, you still have a highly functioning brain, you know, you can do things besides choosing to participate in a content series, right? And so once I started to share my story, right, like the feedback was mixed, but there was a major like population of people that immediately resonated with the story that I was sharing. And the business was a success out of the gate. And I don't think we paid to acquire a customer until year three. And we had grown enough at that point to hire a couple people and have it really be my full-time job.
Yeah. When was it when, well, first off, I want to talk about, you know, you have these haters, I'll call them, or people saying, you know, everyone, I guess that's the, you know, whatever, the, even in entrepreneurship, like, why are you doing this? What, like, you know, and I understand how you got over that, because I can see from your trajectory and history and parents that, you know, you put your head down, you put that all that noise out. But how was it when you first went out there and decided to put together the company? Did you focus first on a singular product? And how did you decide on what to focus on initially when it was just you at the dining room table?
So I focused on the vaginal health category out of the gate and decided to bring a suite of 5 products to market. And if I had the opportunity to do it again, would I maybe launch with just one product? I mean, possibly, but I was so deeply passionate that if you were really struggling, you needed more than just one solution to kind of tackle what you were dealing with, right? Because let's say you're having urinary tract health issues or yeast infections or BV, right? That typically ties back to a gut health issue. So you really need to be taking a probiotic in a preventative way every single day. But then you also might need something to like spot treat the actual issue that you're dealing with, right? So that requires like a suppository. It's a, you know, so it's like a 2-3 product solution to sort of like resolving a chronic health issue, not a singular product solution. And I had experienced that firsthand. And so decided to bring, you know, multiple products to market. And I think for me, thankfully, I was focused on one particular category, right? Women's personal care. And we made a really clean and safe external cleanser that was very different from, you know, other personal hygiene products on the shelf because of the formulation and specifically what we didn't include in the product that made it safe and effective for women versus using products that were full of chemical ingredients and could actually make your health worse, ironically, cause infections, cause UTIs. I think there's high awareness now that there's a lot of toxic products on the shelf. And like, just because something has been there for a long time doesn't mean that it's safe for your body, right? And so, yeah, I mean, initially I was really just sharing my own routine through these like first 5 products that we brought to market. I keep saying we, because now we're so many people.
Amazing.
But it was, yeah. I mean, it was singular. It was I, but in interviews and things, it's a we, because it is a we, you know, I have a team, right? And I can't do it without them.
Yeah. Initially though, it was you and you were there by yourself. It was your story. It was your mission at that point. And it took a couple of years, like you said, to really get it going. But was there a point at all during those first couple of years where, whether it be you, your health, things going on, the business, where you thought about, you know, maybe I should be doing something else. Maybe I should go back to television. Maybe I should try something else. Was there ever that moment?
No. If anything, the opposite. For me, even before I started Love Wellness and I was really focused just on content creation on my own and doing YouTube and working with companies to create paid ads or whatever, I knew in the early days of that was most likely not sustainable. Fame comes and goes, right? People's interest in you comes and goes. And I was aware of that already. And so I knew that because I didn't want to go back to TV and grind it out there for the rest of my life and always be faced with the prospect of what's my next job, where's my next paycheck coming from, that Love Wellness gave me a overwhelming sense of security above all else. And for me, being on television was never the most comfortable thing for me. I think some people really shine in those situations and other people find out through the experience that it's maybe not right for them. And for me, it was definitely the latter. And so I was kind of faced with the dilemma of a lot of people know who you are. What are you going to do with your life if you don't want to go continue to be on TV? If you don't want to be a Real Housewife of New York? Like, what will you do with yourself to pay the bills? Thankfully, like I said, I had really great parental guidance. I always had this entrepreneurship feeling inside of me, right? And if anything, like it, like I said, it was the other way around. Once I sort of hit a certain level of sales, I realized that I could pay myself a salary. that this could be a full-time job. So I was like, whoa, I can get health insurance and pay myself a salary through this business that I started. Holy cannoli.
it's amazing, you know, and I love especially your story from starting, as you said, at the kitchen table. In fact, I want to do a version of this show. A lot of our entrepreneurs are self-made, self-starters, but that just folks like that, that started that way. There's so many incredible stories. But was it ever a drawback for you, or were there issues because of your history?
Absolutely. I mean, I think even to this day, people question why you, right? I see that most often on TikTok, if we're talking about platforms, because TikTok is a platform where just random stuff comes up on your For You page, right? And so you may see somebody that was on TV 15 years ago and you're like reminded of them, right?
All the time.
And so unless you've like been within my sphere of influence the last 10 years, like you have probably completely forgot about me. I'm non-existent to you, which I would expect, right? And suddenly this girl that you watch, that you grew up watching on TV is running this women's health company. Like how, why? However, I think that we'll go back to my quote unquote sphere of influence. If you know me or know about me, I have been sharing my story now about Love Wellness for so long. And I have learned the lesson that if you share your authentic story over and over and over again, and for long enough, and it resonates, you adopt that new personality, you adopt that new persona, and you will be able to shift sort of like the mind share ultimately, right? There's kind of like that tipping point. And I think for me, it was probably when we launched at Target that people really started to take it seriously, because I mean, landing at Target, like is there anything better? I love Target.
Everyone does.
So deeply. My mom and I would go shopping at Target twice a week just for fun. And so I think that was really like a game-changing retail partner for us in building out our omnichannel strategy that I think validated not only the company, but myself in the position. But I think one of the barriers to entry also was the lack of education on the subject matter. A lot of people don't know about the vaginal microbiome and pH levels and that all these organs are connected and that there's, you know, a whole other lifestyle you can adopt to be healthy and avoid a lot of the problems caused just by 21st century living, right? There's not a lot of awareness on that. We get 30 minutes of sex ed and people are like, oh, that's it. Otherwise, I believe old wives' tales or misinformation or whatever. In 2016, there was no media journalist talking about vaginal health, like Well and Good and Birdie. They were not covering this stuff. And now they cover it all the time. And so I think like we had to really climb the education mountain in addition to sort of like the reputational aspect of this, right? But since we have been in market for so long and we've had so many brands come after us creating similar products to us and telling the same story, we have really changed the category dramatically, right? And now these types of products are so much more accessible to women than they ever were before.
Which is great. And I think just in terms of what you've done in terms of really beginning this category, so to speak, and it boggles my mind that we're only talking 2016, right? It's amazing. And now being surrounded by women all day, but growing up, obviously, as a boy and not understanding kind of women's wellness. And it's really mesmerizing at that point that there wasn't this and that you had to go through all of this to start really this new category that, you know, now there's popped up tons of brands. How is that make you feel when you do see other brands, competitors out there, but at the same time knowing, look where all this came from?
I think that it's a huge feeling of validation. I think above all else that I was right, that my gamble was right. You know, I took the risk and it has paid off. And so many millions of women's lives have been changed in a positive way because of that, right? I think that when you're dealing with sort of like hidden health issues, it can be so challenging emotionally, and to like find relief for something that you're embarrassed by or people can't see, that is hugely motivational and like life-changing for a lot of people. I get upset when I see competitors launch products in the vein of what we're doing, but they still have old school ingredients in them, but they're like tacking on like a healthy, positive message, because that to me just goes to show that they haven't really done their research. They're not working with experts, and they're simply trying to profit off of the category, right? If you are making a external cleanser and there's still fragrance in it, like you haven't really done your homework, right? And so, but you're claiming, oh, it's pH balance. It's totally great for you, right? That type of stuff really makes me upset still, because it feels like you're taking advantage of women and the opportunity to sell a product that like maybe you don't even realize is still bad, right? Like, I don't think that it's like with malintent per se, but it just indicates to me that there's such a lack of like research, which further indicates a lack of empathy, right? And like, you don't really care about the customer if you're bringing products to market that still contain ingredients that have been proven to be detrimental to women's bodies, but you are sharing false marketing claims about like how healthy and great and life-changing they are, right? So I think that to me is like, when it comes to this category specifically, one of the biggest challenges or things that makes me upset when I see competitors. Otherwise, I'm happy to have new brands at the table. I think it's great.
Yeah, you must have gotten, and I've known people who have bought your products going way back. Well, not way back, because 2016, but literally, you know.
way back.
Exactly. All the way back to 2016, which is so incredible how you built this business in that short period of time and category. But I know that there are people who have followed what you've done, who have utilized your products, who has actually changed firsthand, seeing this, changed how they actually physically feel. You must get letters or emails these days, or those must feel so encouraging.
Our CX team almost every day in our Slack channel sends sort of like the best of the day from, you know, inbounds that we receive from customers as a way to motivate our team to keep moving. I will say that we built a community within the Love Wellness reviews, like on our .com early on. And it was there that you were able to find so much information and so much support and like good spirit from strangers on the internet and information that you really hadn't like been made aware of yet. Because I think one of the challenges of having a company that sells supplements is that the brand is very limited in what they can say, right? When it comes to FDA regulation. But when you go to customer reviews, you get the real story, which I think is really helpful from a consumer perspective. And so there's just so much information sharing that is like overwhelmingly good and pretty like on the nose when it comes to information, that it overwhelms me every single day. Now, when I walk to work, people stop me on the street and they say, I love your product so much. Like, thank you. You know, when people stop me, I never know if it's going to be, oh, I loved you on Laguna, or what they want, or if they need to
change it
because I just look so friendly, or if they want to talk to me about work. And overwhelmingly now, it's women say, I love your brand so much, like, and I love your products. And that is like, so it makes me want to cry. I like want to cry telling you that right now. Because I like went through so many emotional challenges as a result of being unwell, and to not have to really deal with those things anymore. You go through the whole like cycle of that, right? In terms of emotions, the whole range of emotions, coming out the other side and being like, wow, I don't have to deal with this thing that was so embarrassing, like so awful, like so hidden for so long yeah. anymore.
And made you feel so physically horrible. And now it's so great because, as I said, knowing some folks personally, but like also just from seeing the business and obviously the reviews and what people say and how it's grown, those people who don't have to go and, you know, and don't have to deal like you were dealing with this for years, right? And that's amazing that they can, you know, and I think of my children, both girls who now will have these types of products. Like, so maybe if they aren't feeling a certain way, and instead of having to deal with 18 months or 2 years of like feeling your worst like you did, that they might be able to altogether avoid this by utilizing your products. And to me, that as a father of daughters, like especially just makes me feel like so joyous. And I wanna thank you for that. And in the time we have left, you know, you talked early about you love that startup, that grind, like you love, you decided to bring in a CEO recently.
I did, yes.
What was that? How has that been? And what was the decision behind that?
Yeah, Maria Dempsey, our current CEO, she is amazing. She was previously the CEO of Nest, you know, the candle company. And, you know, she was brought in to double that business and take it through acquisition and just responsibly grow and lead the team, you know, to profitability and all the good things that consumer brands hope for, right? When I made the decision to bring in Maria to replace me as CEO, it was last year, and I really was just so exhausted. When you have never managed a team of 40 people before, you don't know how to manage a team of 40 people. It is a constant struggle, right? If you have never led a marketing organization or a sales and ops team, how, as the leader of the entire organization, are you supposed to develop talent under you? You don't know how, right? And I was doing my best, and I think I brought the business very far, and I'm tremendously proud of, you know, all of my efforts. And I still work full-time at the company, just in the role as chairman of the board that continues to focus on innovation and marketing and community and social. But for me, when I was operating in the CEO function, the last few years, I was just so focused on operating and growing that I didn't have the time and energy to think creatively about my business and think about innovation and where the company could go next, which clearly is what I'm really good at, right? You know, sort of like the foundational stuff, the secret sauce, the feeling, the emotion behind it. And now that Maria has stepped in, I have so much more time to once again focus on the things that I've always really excelled at, right? Which is the innovation, the marketing, the storytelling, connecting with customers. And I'm just so grateful that she's here. It was a team decision, and it was definitely scary, right? Because you bring in a CEO and like you haven't worked with that person before. You don't know if they're actually going to be able to pull it off. And it's a very high risk hire, extremely high risk hire. And so I think my nervousness was about, oh my God, have I made the right decision in bringing in the right person, right? I always knew that bringing in a career CEO was the right decision, but it comes down to the person, right? And oh my gosh, the business is just soaring under her. She is so beloved by the team. I get feedback from people on the team that this is the best CEO I have ever worked for.
Wow.
So I just feel so grateful that she is in partnership with me and has done this before.
It's awesome.
I know what to do. Don't worry.
How awesome is that? But really, for what you just said, there's so many entrepreneurs, it's hard to let go, and others who understand they have to. And then when you do and you bring in someone, you know, when I hear stories 8 out of 10 times, it was the wrong person or this, I'm so glad that it seems like it's working really well, just from your growth, from everything that we've seen, I've seen, just in terms of the business. So that's fantastic. That must make you feel really good. And the last question I wanted to ask you before I let you go is, where do you foresee this business going? And what is that big vision?
Yeah, I think that Love Wellness as a brand has the opportunity to become a true lifestyle brand ultimately. I think that we have a lot of opportunity to expand into different categories, but remain true to our mission, right? We bring incredible innovation that is actually going to change your life, and we bring it to you in, you know, the safest, most natural way possible. I think there's been a huge shift in terms of consumer brands' willingness to start to participate in clinical studies and like really get deep in the science on their products. And as a brand, we certainly are as well, because consumers want and expect transparency, efficacy, safety, and they want results, right? And so as a brand, I think that we plan to continue to invest in and lean heavily into the real science behind our products, which is where I'm taking the brand. This year, we're putting our products through a bunch of clinical studies and things like that, so we can really start to share that information, because ultimately, like, that's what people really want. They want the good stuff. They want to know that, like, this has been thoroughly tested and I can guarantee these results, right? But consumer brands historically haven't really done a lot of that, right? We do safety testing and all these things, but it's really a massive opportunity, I think, for brands in the wellness space to be taken more seriously and to really change how consumers think about health and wellness, right? You don't always need to take a prescription for your problem. There is most likely a solution made with natural ingredients, comes from Mother Earth, that maybe inspired that medication you've been taking, that may provide you with great relief or great benefits from taking it. And so how can we make consumers feel confident enough in a brand's decision to bring a product to market that, you know, that ultimately they will take and feel really, really good about? And we're domestic only right now, and the business opportunity internationally, I think, is tremendous. So for us, it's really about being very confident in our science and, you know, developing those clinicals, and ultimately an international expansion, I think, would be amazing.
Well, I will never doubt you. And as I said, I will thank you, especially as having daughters and understanding this. And as I said, I know so many people who have used Love Wellness products who have literally changed their health completely. And to me, that, like, we interview a lot of people. I have my own business that it's not mission. There's not a mission. It's not like, you know, whatever what we do. You are really changing people's lives, their health, which everyone is always like, without that, you have nothing. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show, sharing your story. It's fascinating. And it's so great to see you in all the news and Walmart and Target and just growing. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure. Really appreciate it.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.